Blog Talk Radio.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing,
but it only works
if you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy?
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long.
blogtalkradio.com/thesmith
Way Productions. You also can check us out on Twitter. You can tweet us at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenzo D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the seven, at Coach, that's with a K, underscore L, underscore Smith, and last but not least, at the Smith Way Production. Check us out. Now, if you want to email the show, you can go to WOL. I don't want to do that because it's not a rap, but guys, it's time to talk about some bracket busted. Who's bracket busted? We just want to know what's going on because some people had teams picked and they didn't work out that way. So our title tonight is Who's Bracket Busted? So I want us to kind of get ready to get this thing started. We're going to start off by introducing our co-host that's joining us at this time. I'm going to start with, as far as South, I can start. This young man hails down from South Alabama. He's the conductor of what we call the East Coast. He's the Don King of Entertainment, none other than our radio personality, Darrell Edre Elliott. How you doing, Darrell?
Hey, Dr. Smith, I'm glad to be on the show with you tonight. Let's have some fun. Let's get some interesting topics going, and you have some stuff laid out for us tonight. I think it's going to be compelling. Let's talk sports.
Let's talk some sports. Thank you, Darrell, for joining us, and I always appreciate you taking time. And I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you taking time to be a part of this. Also, this guy hailed from the farthest point of the state of Alabama North. Oh, he's outstanding to us. He's known for that slogan of saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit got to go. Son up. Then our king of the show, Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
How y'all doing? Glad to be here tonight. Hot topics, Dr. Smith. Hot topics. Ready to get this thing started.
Yes, yeah. We ready to get this thing started. All right. Our next co-host. Just joined. Appreciate her taking time. I mean, I said her, I wanted to be a surprise. None other than Alba Lane, our lady of the house. Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here tonight. We have a lot of hot topics. I can't wait to get started. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Oh, man, I'm so excited with this. When the team said that hot topic, they want to get it started, we'll get it started. So can't forget our last co-host who had made it, but normally make it that half-hour point. Check down talk. He's gone. It's just Tony Stone. Get a whole name that he put together. But to us, he's coach. Check down Tony Starwood, and he'll be joining us later. So that's our team. So let's team. Let's get it started. Who's bracket busted? That's what we got to do. We got to know. We're going to start off with Duke, number one team, number one seat, number one this, number one everything. All the talk ahead and promise, all they talk about Duke. Down. Stop doing that, but I got to say it. What led to Duke failing to advance to the Final Four? I want the team, y'all can just lay it out how you want to lay it, because we're ready to hear what happened to Duke.
I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to hop off, and I got to hear the king, and I certainly got to hear the lady of the hour. But how come Zion Williamson didn't get the ball over the last play? I thought that was just the dumbest thing in the world. They should have gave the ball to Zion Williams, and that's why they lost. And that's why.
Awesome. I dive right in here, Dr. Smith. Them Joker can't shoot. That's why they lost. They got all the penetrators. They have three players that do the same thing. I think Cam Reddish has went outside of his game to shoot the ball. I think he's a penetrator too, but he's taking on the role of trying to be that shooter. I'm with you, Darrell. But all year, they have been going to R.J. Barrett at the end of the game. I don't know what that's about. But I'm with you right there with Zion. I'm going to go with Zion to the end. Zion will average 30 to 35 points if I'm his coach. One thing about Duke that I'm noticing that Coach K is not really coaching these guys. They are not like a traditional Duke team. He's basically, you know, how sometimes you say coaches change according to what products they have on the court. Coach K has changed drastically to what he has on the court. Now, whether it's good or bad, but Duke has had 8 All-Americans the last 2 years, and they have been put out of the Elite Eight the last 2 years. So, that you have something to weigh. Am I going to go with you, or will I go with these old jokers and give me a championship? I be telling y'all that all the time, Dr. Smith. The old jokers will win you some chips. That young joker stuff happened once every blue moon when Kentucky did it every now and then. Now, you will be in the mix. You will be the number one team in the country. But when it comes to that experience, you do not have it. Now, we have 4 teams that have – That we wouldn't even thought of getting past the 8. I'm talking about all 4. The only one that we may have thought, and they've been living by the hair of their 10, is Virginia. And I just didn't pick Virginia because, I mean, they underachieve every year. And the year that I didn't pick them to go deep, they go deep. So, I mean, that's how it is. But they got a bunch of old jokers too, man. But every team that's amongst this Final Four is a highly experienced team. Even it doesn't matter where they are. Texas Tech was unheard of before this tournament. Who else we got? Michigan State always going to be in the mix with Izzo. And the last, we got Michigan State, Texas Tech, Virginia, Auburn. Auburn got some old jokers, juniors. Got a lot of juniors. They got a lot of sophomores and juniors. So, It's going to be up in the air, man. Right now it's up in the air, but, you know, your favorite right now is the team that beat Duke. But don't get it twisted now because, shoot, Texas ain't playing with you. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Awesome.
All right. The reason why Duke lost, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm a Duke fan. I'm a diehard Duke fan. The reason why Duke lost is because if anybody's been watching the whole March Madness, Duke has escaped the past 2 games before they got to the Elite Eight, had escaped by the buzzer, by somebody at the buzzer missing a shot or somebody at the buzzer not finishing. At some point as a coach, that's going to come back and get you. Somebody going to make something at the buzzer on you. Somebody going to beat you down in the crunch time. It also comes with this debate about the one and done. I honestly do not like the one and done for this very reason right here. We hype these kids, so these kids have never been in this environment before. They've never played like this before. And we hype them up to be the next best thing. This team going to win the whole thing. No, they're not. They're inexperienced. They're not going to win the whole thing. I think that show, everybody say put the ball in Zion's hands, put the ball in Zion's hands. They were sending a double at Zion. I saw it coming. A double at Zion. R.J. Barrett was probably, in my opinion, their best option. But also, when you have 3 superstars on your team, 3 and a half, I'm going to say Trey Jones is the half team, only 2 show up, you're not going to win nothing. Cam Reddish has been inconsistent for the entire tournament. If you guys remember correctly, Cam Reddish didn't even play in the Sweet 16 game.
Lee was sore. Hey, I ain't gonna let you go at Cam Reddish.
That man was on the bench. Lord. That man was on the bench jumping around. Trey, come on now. How can you show you on the bench jumping around? Oh, come on now.
His knee was sore. Well, you could jump around like he was, Lauren.
Okay, that's an excuse. I'm not buying it. The man was inconsistent even before that. Got moved out the lineup for the non-shoot boy ain't hit a shot since November. Got moved out the lineup. He disappeared. I haven't seen Cam Reddish since the Florida State game when he hit that game winning three in the corner. I ain't seen Cam Reddish since then. Everybody got to show up in March, man. 2.5 people can't show up. Trey Jones can't shoot. I didn't expect him to show up. He gonna do what he's supposed to do. Play defense, get assists, move the ball around. That's what Trey Jones gonna do. Cam Reddish, in my opinion, he a shooter. You say he attacked the basket. He a little too slow, in my opinion. So if he can find his spot on the floor and shoot, that's good. Bad thing about it, he didn't find it. Duke sitting at home, got Zion not playing in the rick, playing with pickup the guys. This is the way it go. I don't see at this point right here, I kind of see Texas Tech kind of winning it. I'm just saying it because they're the underdog and nobody really saw them coming. But that Culver kid they got, that kid is something serious. I would take him at 3 right now as a third pick, in my opinion. He's finesse. He look good. He play a little defense. That's what I'm looking for. So I wasn't shocked by Duke losing. I was upset, but I wasn't shocked. I kind of saw it coming. But I think Texas Tech will probably take the whole thing.
Awesome. I think all three of our outstanding calls have brought some outstanding conversation in regards to Duke and what it felt. And I think each one of them pointed out something that everybody could lean back into. That's week they're going to be watching just like we're watching. You know, matter of fact, if you went over to the Red, got some basketball yesterday, you could have been like Deion Williams. That's what he was doing at the Red slam dunk. So, you know, that's where he's going to be. He's going to be slam dunking from the rim until this thing is over. Then he gets drafted. We'll know that's a whole different ballgame. But as Trey, as well as Darrell, and he asked the question, what happened to Duke? Why they didn't go to R.J. Barrett? You know, he seemed like to be the most positive, consistent player they had besides Zion. Now, Zion, yes, he shoots 6-8%, but if 50 of your shots is dumb, pretty high in there. The other versatility and the other part where he's able to do some other things outside, he'll drive to the basket. Yeah, you should have 6% percentage shooting if you're shooting for that. So he was not that individual because they played a zone. I sit and watch some tape on Michigan State. Michigan State, when that ball went back to Zion, they squeezed the middle trying to make him get rid of the ball because nobody else had any confidence to do it, but that's called immaturity. Second thing that was said, immaturity. They're not old enough to understand that when you play game after game, you're playing 30. Some of the guys they're playing against Texas, some of them are playing almost 100 and some games. When I said that is they had 2 grad transfers outside the other players there, so they're playing over 100 and some games, whereas you only played about 30 games this year. So it plays on you, and you need to have maturity. And I think it was brought out and it was said that you got to have some experience. Experience wins, too. You can't discount experience. And a lot of times we discount. We get with the most likable, the most fast that they have on, maybe like Fab 5. That's what these were, the Fab 3.5, I believe. So it was like, amazing that all the things we spent a lot of time throughout to hit the pundits and talking heads about what? Talking about how good Zion, he set the world on fire, he needs to be this. And I think sometimes the media pump people up where they shouldn't even be. I'm not saying Zion is not a player to play, but the whole team, Duke wasn't that. They was forced to get by some game. And when they slap around them a little weak boys in the conference, they can beat like crazy. When they get the teams that are going to play just like they play, they can't play. So it's kind of hard for that to happen. You know, Fab 5 back in Michigan, they didn't win a championship, and they had 5 of the best players in the country on the team. This more than the 4 of the best country not win. So they'll be watching it Saturday, and then like we're watching, they'll get a chance to watch Auburn versus Virginia at about 4:46 or 4 something. And then we'll come back later on and see Michigan versus Texas Tech. So we all get a chance to see that. So that's why Duke failed. They don't have any shooters, and everybody and that team was smart enough to out-coach their coach to the point they played the zone half the time, and they couldn't do nothing with that zone because they clawed the Miller up, and they had no shooters to shoot him out. And then the third, last thing I'm going to say, Cam Reddish, he might as well packed his bag and went home because he stopped playing after the 6-8. When they selected 6-8, he was through playing. He wasn't going to do anything. So those are the things that we saw. And if you want to be a part of this, 347-857-4192. If you want to share your comments and have any questions, press 1. I identify you the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to let me know who you are and where you're calling from. We're really excited. Let's make this thing happen. The Final Four is now set. Which team is the biggest surprise? And I'm going to kind of kick this off, and I want the team to join in. I personally believe Texas Tech is the biggest surprise out of this group. And the reason why is because no one could have began the start of the year and thought about Texas Tech making things happen. Remember, they had two grad transfers came in, never played with the other player. You cannot select that team and say that team was going to be in the finals or even top 10 or top anything. But they played well. So I believe they're the biggest surprise. Next, I think, not a surprise because this team was ranked in the top five at Auburn University. Auburn was ranked number five in the preseason poll. So now they're in the top four. They're not a surprise when you already was ranked five in the beginning and all you did in the end played well enough to be number four. Now, however it happened at this point, they had a chance to go. They played so well. They coached so well. They like they said, Nick Saban get coaches fired. Well, Bruce Pearl didn't want fired, or they got it fired up there in Tuscaloosa. So what they doing up there? Share your thoughts with them. Who's the biggest surprise in your eyes? Tell us what you think. 347-857-2. Yeah. Go ahead on, Doc. Go ahead on.
You took the air out of the sail on that one, man. I have to agree with you completely. You hit the nail on the head, and that really is no much. For me, I can't say anything else outside of that because that was my pick. Texas Tech. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. All right. That'll work. Craig, come with it.
Man, you know I'm coming. Shoot, I'm a say Texas Tech too, but I still want to predict that Auburn in there, Dr. Smith. I still want to put them in there. Now, after watching them Jokers, play that tournament game, I gave them a plus right there because they've been shooting the skin off the ball since the SEC championship. Texas Tech does one thing well. They play D. They switch everything and they can get back to their man. They help him recover. They help the helper. Every defensive term you can name, them boys out there doing. Michigan State is just tough. They have a bunch of tough kids. We just had a poll coming out about how Izzo was fussing at a kid on the team probably about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, people talking about he shouldn't go at a kid like that. That man coaching, man. As long as he ain't putting his hands on him, I think he can do whatever he need to do. The clock to do whatever he need to do. Ain't nobody said nothing about that as a man to beat Duke, Dr. Smith. Nothing else about that because he know what he doing. Them his kids. Let him handle his kids. He ain't put the boy off the team. He ain't put his hands on the boy. I don't understand the issue with that. If a coach want to coach a kid hard, let him coach him hard. So if I'm looking at coaching experience right now, I'm going to get Izzo that top over all these coaches right here toward this end right here. But the team that I wouldn't expect to be there. And I'm going to say this too, Dr. Smith. Michigan State is one of those teams because you got to understand, Michigan State has two starters that are out, Dr. Smith. Josh Langford and the other kid that's hurt, the other B. So that's how that works right there. That go mine. I'm going to say I got two of them, Michigan State and Texas Tech.
Great. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to go Michigan State. In Michigan State, this is why Coach Evans just said it. Josh Langford, when he went out, I was like, oh, my God, what's going to happen after this? But that kid, Cassius Winston, oh, my God. That kid is amazing. And Nick, the end of the Nick Ward, that kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, is he going to come back? Is he going to be as aggressive as he once was? How is Nick Ward going to come back from this injury? But I have no doubt now. I did not see Michigan State getting this far. So that's my first one. Second one is that school up the road for me. They, oh, my God. I saw them shoot so inconsistent one game, and I kept saying, this is not going to work. There ain't going to be nobody in the tournament shooting like this. But that little boy, Bryce Brown, get the ball, and he go coast to coast. He set up in the corner. He shoot. He set other people up. Auburn is a they're gonna get to the next championship game. They're gonna win, but they're gonna get there. And the folks up the street, they're gonna go crazy up the street. They're gonna roll the town with tissue all they want. But they're not going to win that championship. I don't think they have enough to win. They have enough to get there, but they don't have enough to win. So mine's going to be Michigan State because of injuries and Auburn because they proved to me that, you know, some nights just not your night. But if you can come at the next night, shoot skin off the ball, and maybe you can keep sneaking by teams. And I'm just amazed. I never thought it would be these four teams. So Michigan State and Auburn are my I didn't think they would get here teams.
And each one of us has get these different teams on the head. And we didn't say a whole lot about Virginia. I think a lot of people kind of forgot about Tony Bennett and what he's doing at Virginia, even though I think we put too much in them losing last year's number one seed. The number one seed overall lost 16 seed. That never happened again. But it's just like the same thing that Nick Saban does. He might lose and come back next year. He get a motivated enough. Play hard. And when you're a good coach, got outstanding players, and you know you got embarrassed pretty much. So that's why I probably didn't hear Virginia name really being called as we was talking the process. Really, really, we heard Auburn. And as I say, Auburn was preseason 5 in the country, so they had to play well enough to stay up. But then with the Michigan State lost 2 players. And even though I selected, my select is to win tour is going to outlast the other teams. That's just what I believe. I mean, the tour is playing together, not when you add a player that got the tour. I'm talking about playing together. And they got the best coach. They got the best coach out of the whole group of coaches. So I see it that way. So they surprised me to be there, but they was already picked by most of the pundits and talkheads to be in the final. A lot of thought they should have been even without Josh Langford as a number one pick to represent a region, but they was a number two. So they was up there highly thought of in that situation. But that's what we talk about. You can be a part of this well, 347-857-4192. Give us a call. Holler at us. We want to hear what you have to say. We're very excited about it. And we want to know who's bracket busted. We don't know what bracket was busted. If you don't have a team in there and don't have a chance to win, your bracket is busted. And that's what it's all about. They'll talk to Sports Plus tonight, and we're real excited about having a team. All right, next focus is going to be on Stuart, University of Kentucky, signed Calipari to a lifetime contract. Tell me what you think about that team. Did they have signed him to a lifetime contract? And give some clarity before we go to talk. He's going to probably coach another 4 or 5 years, and after that, he's going to be serving as an ambassador for the university, but he always will have a job at the university. What you think, coach?
Let me jump in right quick and jump on out. So,
as I
look at over his career there, what has he done to earn that? And I can say nothing. I mean, you look at all of the many great players that have come through Kentucky and only won national championship. No, he does not deserve that. But that's my 2 cents. All right, Trey, teach me something.
All right. I'm gonna baptize you right quick right here, Darley. First off, Kentucky is built in a way that I don't think Calipari can coach it. Kentucky has older kids on their roster. Calipari is not there to coach older kids. He's there to coach younger kids. Coach K and Calipari need to switch rosters. If they switch rosters, they're both in the Final Four right now. It's just developed. I don't think Calipari is a developer. Think he needs a lot of talent around him to look good. Now, he's a heck of a recruiter, and he can get what he wants, but when he does it, he's going to have a subpar, mediocre team. Like I said about Coach K, he's out of character right now. You got 8 All-Americans in 2 years, and these 2 years, he done went out in the Elite 8 every time. So I just think they need to switch rosters. But as hiring Calipari as a lifetime coach, that's pretty good for Kentucky. So he controls when he wants to leave, right, Dr. Smith?
That's what that says.
Okay, that's a plus for him. That's a dream job. Calipari will be here probably the next 8 years. I give him 8, but he will be there probably more than that. I'm gonna give him more than that. Calipari is an energetic coach. I don't think the kids even, because when they lose, he content with it. I mean, he know why they lose. But this year is the only year he can't say you didn't beat him. But over the past few years, youth has been beating him. But this year he got an old team, and they lost anyway to that Auburn team shooting the skin off the ball. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Great. That's great, Trey. But he hit the thing on the head and really now. We can say he deserved it, but we also go by contract the extension. We may give people extensions, and they can end tomorrow. So if a contract is made to be extended, it is made to be broken. So the bottom line is that Calipari may be there. He may not, but just to ensure and get their minds at peace that he will be there. But we got to realize time's going to change. And I think you get to a point, we all get to the point, we get a little too old. It's about time for us to go home, and kids that are not adapting to the kids, and I think to the children, I'm sorry, to the children or the players like you're supposed to. You're not adapting to the 18-year-old when it's a 40-year gap or 50-year gap. You're just not adapting. It's time to go home. It's time to go home. So I just think that it's something to assure and have the fans happy that they're going to have them around. Not guaranteed that he's going to win another championship or not. But just to know that you got a seasoned coach there, but before long, in 4 or 5 years, I think those players and the young people that's come along have been outgrown the thought process that Calipari has. In 24 and 25, I can guarantee you, he will not be in a position to kind of get these young fellas doing what they need to do. And I think that's going to be where he comes to become ambassador. All I think is guaranteed that he pursued his lifetime contract was that he will be an ambassador. He will always have him a job like Pat Dye did with Auburn. Pat Dye stayed at Auburn forever, working as an ambassador or a fundraiser. So that's where exactly where we are. And let's go back to his career, Calipari. You know, he won one championship and had all these players, more players in the NBA than any other team. Tubby Smith won a championship at Kentucky. And he won number 2 years. So it ain't that. Can't say the greatest coach because he only have one championship. Need to have more than that. But it's hard to win those championships at this level. So we're going to look at it that way and we'll keep our thoughts. Coach Smith, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, just one thing. Calipari has thrived, really thrived off that one-and-done rule. My whole thing is what happens when the NBA opens it back up that you can enter straight out of high school. Will Calipari had the same success. We had the same talent. You know, that's my whole thing about that lifetime thing. The game is about to change in 2 or 3 years where, you know, we're going to go back to jumping from high school straight to the NBA. So how is he going to be able to adapt to that? And also these kids are a little different now. We see that right now when you have Isaiah Washington leaving Minnesota and also the kid from Villanova leaving. These guys are Showtime guys. I call them internet-made kids. So what's going to happen when we no longer glorify that and that's no longer, you know, what we look to as, oh, my God, it's amazing. What's going to happen to Calipari? What's going to happen to the style of basketball at Kentucky? So I don't really like the lifetime thing because at some point a new voice is going to have to come in, a new mindset. And if he's going to be an ambassador, which means he's going to have some say-so in that, I really don't like that, but look, Kentucky tried to keep him from going anywhere else, which I don't think he would, but I don't really like it.
I'm going to tell you, get it on the head. We're looking at a situation that trying to do changes, and you get older, and you just can't adjust back to some of these ways that our young people are being exposed to. So we're kind of keep an eye on that. But you can be a part of this conversation now, 347. 857-4192. Give us a call. If you have something you want to share with us, if you have a question, press 1. We'll identify you the last 4 digits of a telephone number, and it will actually tell us your name and your location. All right, next topic we want to look at is about Zion Williamson, who will be the second player drafted behind Zion Williamson. Tell me your thoughts, coaches.
R.J. Barrett.
Agreed. You ain't got to stay on that one long, Dr. Smith. RJ Barrett.
Jay Morant, Derek Cover, then DeAndre Hunter. There you go.
Okay. So we said second player after Zion Williams would be RJ Barrett or Jay.
Yeah, I think both of them are tied for two.
Okay. Some of the talking heads are probably thinking that with his performance, Jay Morant, he surpassed RJ Barrett to be the number two mm-hmm. player, and RJ dropped down to three. Lauren, I heard you say, scare your thoughts.
Yeah, it's not going to be about who go, like, it's going to be about what the team needs. And I think right now, who's number two, the Suns or something like that? The Suns might be one. It depends on how the lottery falls, but the Suns go two. I think they pick Jay Morant. And whoever goes one, which was probably going to be the Hawks or the Knicks, which they'll need Zion. They really don't need a point guard. So Zion will go one, but that two spot is probably going to be Jay Morant. And then whoever comes in three, they'll be lucky to get RJ Barrett. They just have to develop him a little bit more. But I think Jay Morant goes two. If the lottery falls how it's supposed to and the Suns get the second pick, I think they'll go ahead and get Jay Morant because they need a guard.
Yep, and that's the thought of the team. We're sharing our thought in regards to the draft coming up. We'll be the second player after Zion Williamson, and we'll keep our eye for Jay Morant or either R.J. Barrett. All right, let's kind of look at the football draft that's coming up. Who will draft Kyler Murray, number one? Everybody says it's going to be Arizona. Is it a possibility someone can speak in that and off of enough draft choices to get Kyler Murray? Tell me what you think about it, team.
I don't think the Cardinals are willing to trade that. I really think they want Kyler Murray. So Josh Rosen is gonna be on the trade block real soon, and I don't think he's gonna be for the number one. For the number one pick, I think it's going to probably be for something else. But the way Arizona's talking, they really want Kyler. So I don't think anybody could trade for Kyler unless they send in a blockbuster trade or something like that. But I don't think anybody's willing to give that up.
Okay.
Dr. Smith, I have been there's a lot of trades going on in the league, and I'm going to say this about the NFL right now. It's going to be tough. Like, I'm with Lauren right there. Kyler Murray has a good chance of being the number one pick, a very good chance, depending on which way they want to go with it. But honestly, this draft this year, you don't have any players out there that's just gonna be a dominant guy like that. The players are being traded amongst the team, so your team is trading and loading up just like the Browns got Odell. The Raiders have really loaded up. They got big time running back. They loading up. But my Redskins still in the dark, Dr. Smith. They call us Alabama Part 2. Defensively, we have nine jokers from Alabama. That's called Alabama team. I'm just waiting on this quarterback, man. And I don't want Kyler Murray at the Redskins. So I haven't really been paying attention to the NFL because of this fact. I don't see anybody making an impact from these draft picks. I don't see it, Dr. Smith. Maybe y'all see it. I don't see it.
So one of the things I'm going to kind of say, this is more of a defensive line draft. This is nothing to do. The impact may not come from the offensive side of the ball. Because let's be realistic now. Until the last month and a month and a half, Kyler Murray was nowhere close to being number one person. Let's keep it real. I think it was all a build up from the publicity and pushed him up to be number one. Because he was 13 a month and a half ago that all of a sudden it seemed like it's like let's dump some money in him. We know the man say he wants him. He got to have him. And all of a sudden, he went from 13 by the Dolphins to being number one pick because of a Coach Kingsbury that have no idea what he's going to be doing, what he needs to do. I don't care what nobody say. He had an opportunity at Texas Tech. He ain't done it nothing there. And that's just from what I'm seeing. You know he ain't going to do a whole lot when you ain't got nothing to go with. Let's keep in mind, it's just my thought in regards to this. Keep in mind that team is set up to have a drop-back quarterback, not for a quarterback that runs. And you know, and Coach Edwards can say, that you know you have to have linemen that are going to be able to block where you have to stretch out and get the move. These guys dropping back ain't going to be the same. That's why it's hard to put a guy that's more or less a RPO runner or can run real fast. They're going to stay in the pocket like they supposed to. You know, that was a big talk about Lamar Jackson, besides not being active, but one of the things black quarterbacks get, they're not going to stay in the quarterback in the pocket long enough. We said Kingsbury had the two players that played in the NFL over there at Kansas. One at Kansas City and another team. But he had them in the throwing up in points, and all of y'all against defense don't play no defense, man. So all of a sudden, I think that's just something like a fool's gold type thing. They're going to try to make something happen. But if you don't have the linemen to block for this situation, Kyler Murray is going to be just as worse as Josh Rose. He's going to be on his butt 90% of the time. That's the way I see it, but if that's the choice they want to go, let them go. I still think they need to get some defensive players. They were what they had from the beginning. Let's go from there, but that's my thought in regards to that. So really don't think if Oakland can stop Brown and they give a draft choice and move up and get it, what everybody thinking. That's just my opinion, and I'm going to hold on to that opinion until I see something different. All right, Trey, since you brought something up, well, I won't go to that yet. We'll get that last. On the historical black college and university storylines, we want to talk a little bit about ASU and Alabama A&M. What do they need to win the SWAC in 2019 in football? We have spring training going on. We have recruiting going on. Tell me what you think. We want to start with Alabama A&M first, Trey. What do you think they need to
bring us in here, Dr. Smith. I got you.
Okay.
Shoot, we looking impressive on the hill. Consistency is the goal this year. Consistency. We need to beat the teams we're supposed to beat and don't lose those games. Once we do that, I think we got a chance to win this way. If we slip up and get Grambling or Southern, we end up that trip. I think we can handle everything when it's easy this year. Everything kind of fall off. And we still up there. We loading up. We getting D1 players, and we got a lot of jokers coming back. Consistency. We beat the joker we supposed to beat. I think we'll be fine. I'm impressed with the way Coach Manning has handled the team. Drastic changes, and we will be at the top of the conference, Dr. Smith.
Okay, what about the schedule? That's my biggest concern.
We got a low ball schedule now. We ain't playing that big this year, Dr. Smith.
Got a Division One schools on there, just like Alabama State playing Division One, playing teams that they know they're not gonna be hard to beat. You lose three or four games in a row. You got that kind of situation. And that's my biggest concern with when we talk about Alabama State in a minute. Not that they don't have the players, it's the kind of schedule they got to play. And then they'll run into that same thing. They play in the Cincinnati's and all of them like they used to play. They take a toll on teams that like that. So tell me your thoughts, Trey.
Dr. Smith, we're not playing in those teams this year. we start off with Morehouse. We come back with Pine Bluff, North Alabama, and Samford. Those are the only two out of Cooper games we have. So we got a potential chance of winning at least one of them in UNA. Now, Samford might be bumping a little harder than UNA, but I don't see too much. This schedule here drummed down this year for us. We have no Division One games. We have no money games this year. So what man might run the ropes this year, Dr. Smith. We might see the ropes ring.
All right, that's Alabama A&M.
Dr. Smith.
Yes, right. I mean, it's all left. Yes, Darryl, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. I'm a long wolf back at it. The first thing I want to do is, Ted, I want you to get a look closer to your microphone the next time you talk, Dr. Smith. We've been texting you that. But listen, can I talk about Alabama State University? Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, you sound better already. So here's where I'm at. Alabama State University, and this is my two cents, has a ridiculous schedule, number one. The money games are all great, but to me it costs the team way too much. And Alabama State must, in my mind, change the culture from within, change their personality, have the desire and the passion to win. And I think that's the biggest thing for me when I look back at Alabama State as a whole, is just they don't have the culture. The culture out from within is just not there with Bama State. And that's no play on Coach Ely, great coach. I think the way that they do things is not conducive to winning. And I would like to see Alabama State have a A&M schedule this year, and so they could go and win the SWAC instead of all of these big time teams they play. But that's just my two cents. Now, Lauren, I want you to school me.
There you go, Lauren.
Okay, so you said it's gonna be called a smack. It is gonna be called a smack by the time they get to the SWAC, so they're gonna be smacked around, so everybody's gonna be hurt. I don't like the schedule. I think the schedule is ridiculous. Why are we playing teams that we know, for one, UAB, nobody's going up there to watch it on a Thursday night. Go ahead and tell you. Nobody's going to watch us get beat by 40 by Coach Clark. Nobody's going to watch that. Then you come back and see Tennessee. Okay, you might win, you might not. Boom. Now think about it. Now you're down. You're 0-2, right? Who the next season play? Kennesaw State, 0-3. Next season play, that's a sweat game, correct? You might be 0-4 because everybody might be hurt by the time you get ready to play that. I hate the schedule. I'm looking for consistency, offensively and defensively. Honestly, what I'm hearing is they don't have that, really. So that's going to be terrible. Also, the culture has changed Alabama State. Like me and Dr. Smith were talking the other day, people don't buy season tickets no more, and I'm going to tell you why they don't buy season tickets no more. Because Alabama State gets smacked around so bad at the beginning of the year, you don't want to pay your money to see that, man. You don't want to sit at home and watch Alabama win and watch Auburn lose. I'm going to say that. You'd rather do that than go up and drive up there and watch Alabama State get smacked around the field because half their kids hurt because they played a terrible schedule, which means you have lost guys to ACL injuries, broken arm, broken foot. Those are 6 to 8 week injuries. Those are 2 to 4 month injuries. Some of these guys not going to come back. Alabama State has to change their culture. I don't know what's up with these money games because Alabama State is not that broke. I don't know what is wrong with them, why they continue to play these money games. If you play other HBCUs, I swear to you, people will pack your stadium out. People want to see you play Morehouse. People want to see you play Clark. People want to see you play teams like that. Don't nobody want to see you go out there and get smacked around by UAB, Kennesaw State, Florida State. I don't want to see that crap, man. I stay at home and watch that. I can watch Auburn get beat by Tennessee at home. I don't got to come and drive over to the stadium and watch Auburn State get beat. They have to change stuff within. Once they change that, I think kids will come there and get recruited. It'll be a smoother ride over there, and Richard Beam won't win all the championships. Maybe now he can go out there and get football team some advice so they can win by then. They got to change a lot of stuff. I'm telling you right now. I don't see how they beat nobody, honestly.
Dr. Smith, please put Lauren in front of the president and Coach Ely. Please put her in front of them. Somebody will listen to this one. So please put her in front of them. Let's go ahead, Coach. Go ahead, Doc.
Woo, she bragging it, boy. I tell you, she bragging it because we had that conversation in the car the other day. There's no other word. It's not going to be UAB. We're going to automatically lose 2 or 3 players, possibly players that are so key. Why can't we get that kind of schedule like Alabama is? And that's why I asked Trey exactly what the kind of schedule they have, because if you're playing teams like Cincinnati to make that money, are you playing other schools that you're going to get your – you may not get your head beat in, but you're going to get players hurt. You're going to get players in a position that they're not going to be able to play when you get the spike schedule. The schedule's top heavy. And that's on the top. They start off with UAB, Tuskegee, Kennesaw State, Grambling, and Alcorn. Come on, man. Keep it real. I can see Grambling and Alcorn because they're in your SWAC. But I don't have to play Kennesaw State and UAB. So we haven't played Kennesaw State 3 years and haven't beat them yet. Haven't come close to beating. So the bottom line, and they was a club team 5 years ago. They were playing flag football, program up. They played in the playoff. They made it to the second round, the playoff of the Division One AA. So come on now, we're not beating those people. But we're losing players and we're playing these money games. It's like playing Auburn last year, the second ball game. You go out there and win and sneak and beat Tuskegee, then you come in, man, you got to play that. You just don't have no spirit after that. And they notice they lose players, and they're just not good. So it got to be a revamping of that schedule and quit worrying about money game. We can put the meat in the seat if we get out and we can help promote this thing. Maybe that's something that's going to be happening next year with Coach Williams, Jennifer Lynn Williams. She'll be able to get out there next year and set up a real good schedule. Because one thing I know I heard from her when she first took over one of the things she on the press conference said, it will never be a schedule like it was last year. Man, it's pretty close. It's pretty close because last year you had Auburn the second ball game. So my point is, you got UAB the first game. So maybe the schedule is already put in place. There's nothing you can do about it because you can't do nothing about the SWAT game. But it was put in place in those other games. The money game was already set up, and maybe next year we'll get a little better schedule in the MEAC or a challenge with the SIAC and the CIAA. Play a couple of those games because the bottom line is not going to keep you out of the – if you win your conference and you're available to go to the playoffs, you're going to get in the playoffs. Just have to have the best record, same way with basketball. So that's one of the things. So we had great thought about what ASU and Alabama A&M will do and have to do to win the SWAC for 2019. Coach Eric gave you all the thought in regards to Alabama A&M, and then both Darrell and Coach Smith were heavy hitters about Alabama State University. And the last thing we want to touch base, we got about 8 minutes, and that is with the players that Cleveland have signed and traded for, will we consider this to be a super team? Good enough, and I'm going to kind of put both of these things together on a pro ball to win the AF's 5 minutes and talk about it. And I'm going to just kind of kick it off and make sure, before we just say this quickly, I'm going to let you jump in and y'all can have it at this point. We basically, when I see it, still until they, you know, everybody projecting and the pundits and talking heads are saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl, the odds is 15-1 and all this right here. They haven't played a down together. They haven't played. You don't know how they're going to respond. You don't know. You got some film on Baker Mayfield now. It ain't like it was last year. So that was a professional athlete. And they're going to be coming at them just as hard as they come. And I just don't think teams that have been there know how to win, going to lay down, no matter how many plays they make and how they have to do it. I still say it's a little high. The expectation is real high. So we'll see how it turned out. You can be a part of it, 347-857-4192. Share your thoughts on that right quick in regards to the Cleveland Browns and what are their expectations. We're expecting them to be in the Super Bowl. Is that too high? Winning the AFC championship.
I'm going to jump off real quick so I can hop off and listen. Let me tell you this. So they got a rookie contract and a rookie quarterback 2 year. This is year number two now. So what does that do? That makes it something that Trey said earlier about a lot of trading going on in the NFL. That makes the Browns be able to go out and spend money on better players. Odell Beckham, you know, the eighth wonder of the world, they called them yesterday on the TV, to come in and be a part of the Browns, puts them in a better position and with the players that they have. So some definitely some net gain for them, and definitely it looks good for the Browns. And, again, I agree with you, Dr. Smith, they haven't played a down together. But it does make for an interesting matrix of players. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. And go Coach Craig, Coach Smith.
I dive in with it. I think the Browns will be subpar. Like you said, I think they have to mesh. You have two number one receivers. Once the other start catching the ball, you know, even though they've been friends since they've been young, before going to high school, before going to college, I still think they will have a problem with each other when it comes to the sharing of the ball. First off, your quarterback isn't established in the NBA, in the NFL either. So that's an issue. Next thing, your defense. I mean, you know, people talk about Super Bowl, but I can't name three jokers on the Browns defense. I mean, maybe if y'all can, y'all let me know. But all we know is they got Odell Beckham this summer. I mean, this, you know, this spring in the offseason. I don't see the Browns doing that. Now, first thing need to be to make the playoffs. I'm going to say that. That need to be the first goal. But to say they're going to win the Super Bowl, I think that's out of question. So I'm going to just say just get to the playoffs first, Dr. Smith.
Okay. So Smith, you better give us, wrap this thing up in a minute. You can share your thoughts and we'll close out.
Okay, so I play Madden all the time, and when I'm playing Madden, the Browns win the Super Bowl easy. They get there easy when I'm playing Madden. The defense is intercepting the ball. You know, Baker Mayfield throwing the ball 50, 60 yards on me, and Odell Beckham laying out and catching it, or Jarvis Landry getting slant route passes, breaking them for 40, 50 yards on Madden. Now, that's just on the game. So, if they can perform halfway as good, they beat me on this Madden, I think they'll be pretty good, you know, in the regular season. But we also have to remember Kareem Hunt would not be there for the first 8 games. And that's a major weapon they're going to miss, because Kareem Hunt was outstanding for the Chiefs. So I'm just saying right now, they're winning on Madden, so maybe they can translate over, maybe they can see how they play on Madden, maybe they can go out there and play like that when we come back in September.
Awesome. I'm telling you. And we'll look to see. We just want to talk about, we have some hot topics tonight. We're at the end of the show, and we appreciate you joining us. I gave you a minute, Trey, to share your closing remarks there. I had to already leave, get out here and go to that next job. And then, Lauren, you share yours, and I'll wrap the whole thing up. We'll start with you, Trey.
Yeah, glad to be here with y'all tonight. Big things coming up this summer. Getting ready for the games, ready to get with my Uncle Dr. Smith on that, trying to see what's going on with that. Spring football. A-Day's getting ready to come up. A lot of spring high school football coming up. So let's get ready to roll, guys. Let's be here next Wednesday. Ready to roll. Dr. Smith, glad to be here tonight with y'all. Lauren, Barry, glad to be with y'all. Peace out.
It was real
nice to meet you guys. And don't take my comic relief as anything but me telling the truth on half of it and the other half making you laugh. So we have a big weekend coming up in basketball. I hope everybody tuning in for the game. I hope Auburn lose by 50. It was a great night. I had fun. Can't wait to be back with you guys next week. Next Saturday, 11 o'clock over at Alabama State, they'll be having their spring game kind of early this week. You guys come out and watch it. They're going to be wrapping up the President's Tour. The President went out the past 2 or 3 weeks and gave our scholarships to kids. They're going to be ending the tour in Montgomery next weekend. So y'all come out, meet the players, have a talk with the President. Just enjoy the atmosphere next weekend. I probably will be out there next weekend. Let's go.
Go ahead on. All right, that's awesome, awesome. We're about to wrap this thing up. We have a timer. It's trying to kick in, and I've got hashtag keep on grinding, hashtag communicate understanding. Check us out on Friday at 6:00 Central Standard Time with Balling with the Doc. We got about 3 seconds before I do the slippers on the podcast, but we do appreciate you joining us. And I always tell everybody, as we said, you know, we always want to be smiling. We try to make sure we stand and be able to have some fun when we're here. And as it said, you know, I love you. Do about it. Have an awesome night.
We're going to start this thing all right. Do ball in the money log and have come on. Now come on. Do it, baby. Take it, baby. Do it, baby. Take it, baby. Do it, baby. Take it, baby. Do it, baby. I'm living my best life.
To be smiling for. Come on. So what the f you be wildin' for? Come on, I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause
cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages, graced the cover of 100 magazine pages, made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot, with a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now.
Put your middle fingers up in the air and show a hater you don't even much care. We finna get another bag this year. My ex, you can have that there. Hey, this year, bad vibes get cut off. More trips, new chicks with no draws. More drinks, more smoking, more cars. More shows with Duval and Snoop Dogg. Look, I ain't trying to throw no shade, cause I can't see them in my lane. As long as my rent getting paid, I can care less with a beer bank, huh? You in the club every night with no job. Eating good off your food stamp card. You made a killing last year off fraud. If you know you ain't going to work tomorrow,
I'm living my best life.
A lot to be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.